This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
Because Robert Mugabe was right at first, but somehow he went wrong.
That's a clerk in Zimbabwe on his mixed feelings about the late President Robert Mugabe. Details coming up also. Pope Paul has given his final blessing to a packed stadium audience in Mozambique before proceeding to Madagascar. We'll have these stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, Robert Mugabe, who ruled the Southern African nation of Zimbabwe for 37 years following the end of white minority rule in 1980, has died at age 95. Some hail him as a liberation hero who stood by his principles. Others say he rigged elections, destroyed the economy of Africa's former breadbasket, and terrorized his people for decades. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Harare on his life and legacy.
Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe's first president, leaves behind a complicated legacy after 37 years of increasingly autocratic rule. In his younger years, he led the guerrilla movement that resulted in Zimbabwe's independence. At the time, he was hailed as a liberation hero, both inside and outside the former British colony once known as Rhodesia. Early on, he urged Zimbabweans to reconcile after the civil war that raged during the final colonial years. He also initially expanded the country's education and health systems, making them among the best regarded in Africa. But as time went on, Mugabe grew intolerant of dissent and faced increasing allegations of human rights abuses, repression, and election rigging. Farm output plunged after land reforms transferred white-owned commercial farms to black Zimbabweans, some of whom lacked the experience and funding to make the farms productive. For many Zimbabweans, cash, jobs, and fairly priced commercial goods remain impossible to get. And for that, many blame Mugabe. Speaking to VOA in 2018, Mugabe defended his years in power.
And I have, during that time, during all this time, cried for return. Our return to constitutionality, our return to legality, our return to freedom for our people, an environment in which our people would be free.
28-year-old clerk Pedzai Chikwenya said he had mixed feelings about the man who ruled Zimbabwe for most of his life.
Because Robert Mugabe was right at first, but somehow he went wrong.
As he aged into his 90s, Mugabe grew frail and his wife, unpopular with the public, positioned herself to eventually take power. The military prevented that by taking control of state institutions and forcing Mugabe to resign in November 2017. He was replaced by his longtime deputy, Emerson Mnangagwa. Mnangagwa, notably, declined to prosecute Mugabe.
Near but not evil is the founding father of the nation of Zimbabwe. He is our founding father of free Zimbabwe.
Mugabe will be buried at Harare's Heroes Acre Cemetery, his final resting place overlooking a country that, for decades, was inseparable from the man at the top. Anita Powell, VOA News, Harare.
Robert Gabriel Mugabe was a man who divided global public opinion like few others. As reported earlier, for some, he was an evil dictator. To others, he was a revolutionary hero who fought racial oppression and stood up to Western imperialism and neocolonialism. On his own terms, he was a success. First, he delivered independence for Zimbabwe after decades of white minority rule. He then remained in power for 37 years. To talk further about Mugabe's legacy, we have in studio Gibbs Dube from VOA's Zimbabwe service. Welcome to Africa News Tonight.
Thank you so much.
So, Gibbs, talk to us a little about what you think is Mugabe's legacy.
Now, when you look at the late president, you know, there are some people who liked him so much that they think he did well in terms of the land issue. You still remember that he actually seized land from white commercial farmers. So there are roughly about 4,000 white commercial farmers who lost their land to the ZANU-PF government. So now the problem with that is that, you know, that land was parceled to people in his inner circle. So it didn't benefit a lot of people. But those that actually benefited are actually praising him for having done that. When you look at education in Zimbabwe, Mr. Mugabe is spearheaded, you know, the transformation of education. If you look at primary schools, secondary schools, universities, he actually improved all that kind of a thing. So then we know that the literacy rate of Zimbabweans was almost the highest in Africa at one stage. But some people are always questioning what then happened to that kind of literacy since the country is almost, you know, finished like what it is in terms of the economy. So, and then when you talk about Mr. Mugabe too, you talk about what he did for the people of Zimbabwe. Did he actually improve the economy from the time he took over from Ian Smith? Some people say yes, during the first years, but thereafter, they say he looked as if he didn't have a clue of what the economy was all about. So as we speak right now, the economy is on its knees. So then when you look at the other issues like, you know, fighting for the emancipation of women, fighting for the emancipation of the poor, he did mostly a great job on that score. But then one big thing that maybe took Mugabe down was the Kukurawundi massacres, the atrocities in Matabeleland. You still remember that at least 20,000 people were killed by a certain militia, which was not even under the command of the National Army. It was called the 5th Brigade. So it killed people that were actually loyal to then leader of ZAPU, that is Joshua Nkabo Nkomo. So on that score, I think he didn't do well. So there's so many people who are criticizing him for not even, you know, coming out to say, okay, he said something like it was a moment of madness. But that madness was not followed with some kind of, you know, tangible things to actually say sorry to the people. So that's one minus for him.
Could you talk a little, many Zimbabweans trace like the reversal of his and their fortunes to his 1996 wedding to his secretary, Grace Marufu. Could you talk a little about that?
Yes, I still remember that he married his secretary. And, you know, there was a lot that was said. And, you know, when he got his first child, his first wife, Sally Efron Mugabe,
which was very respected person.
That's right. So when he got his first child, Bona Mugabe, you know, Sally Mugabe was still alive. And I guess she didn't like it at all. So people really criticized that. And for your own information, indications are that Grace Mugabe's husband was still alive too. And what happened to him? We are told he was sent to China for some mission, and the woman was then snatched. So those are some of the theories that, you know, play around the marriage. So at the end of the day, the marriage really seemed like it revived his life in terms of having a young wife who was very ambitious. And she wanted maybe to become the president of Zimbabwe as well. We saw her attacking Mnangagwa and all those things. But then, you know, bringing down the economy, there was an issue, you know, in 1997 when he actually gave out some money to war veterans. You know, there were roughly about 30,000 war veterans. Each war veteran was given $50,000. You know, he was under pressure to deliver, and then that brought down the economy, literally. Up to now, the economy is limping because of that.
The inflation rate that reached almost, what, 231%?
More than that. I think the count was far much higher than that, 800% or something along those lines. So it was really bad because you would have money now, but 10 minutes later, the money has changed in terms of what you can purchase and all those kind of things. It was really hard for Zimbabweans.
Gibbs Dube from VOA Zimbabwe Service, thank you for your input.
Thank you so much.
As we reported, Zimbabwe's longtime ruler, Robert Mugabe, passed this morning. The world joins Zimbabwe in mourning, but many have mixed feelings over the former president. Reporter Kuzai Zanawashi has more from Harare.
Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa, Friday, cut his trip to a South African economic meeting, shot and flew back to Zimbabwe following the death of his mentor and predecessor, Robert Mugabe. From South Africa, Mnangagwa tweeted that Mugabe was an icon of liberation, a pan-Africanist who dedicated his life to the emancipation and empowerment of his people. His contribution to the history of our nation and continent will never be forgotten. Mugabe's rule lasted 37 years and ended when the military ousted him 2 years ago and replaced him with Mnangagwa. Messages of condolences from across the globe have started coming in. South Africa President Cyril Ramaphosa offered his thoughts.
We remember him as a towering leader of the struggle for independence of the people of Zimbabwe, but as an outstanding leader on the African continent. President Mugabe will be sorely missed because he was one of those presidents who also contributed to the freedom of the people of South Africa.
Mugabe tolerated no dissent, and the Opposition Movement for Democratic Change, or MDC, was usually at the receiving end of his anger. Luke Tamborinyoka is with the MDC.
Being an opposition party during Mugabe's era was actually a tenuous experience. There was so much brutality, there was so much violence against the people of Zimbabwe. Since the formation of the party in 1999, the party has lost hundreds of people due to state-sanctioned violence under the tutelage and authorship of Mr. Robert Mugabe.
But that hasn't stopped MDC members from acknowledging his passing.
However, being a patriotic African party, we believe that at this moment, this is not the moment to reflect too much on the negatives. This is a moment of mourning. We are also taking cognizance that he is a founding father of Africa. He was a founding president of our country. And therefore, we believe that at this moment, as a party, we are joining his family in mourning him.
Tamborinyoka says Mugabe could have salvaged his tainted legacy had he left power graciously in 2008, when he lost the first round election. Instead, his supporters mounted so much violence against opposition supporters that his rival, the MDC's Morgan Tsvangirai, withdrew from the race. Zimbabwe's deep economic and continued repression of dissents are linked to Mugabe's leadership, which is why many have mixed feelings about his death. Following his ouster, Mugabe expressed hate for the ruling ZANU-PF, the party he helped found. On the eve of the 2018 elections, he told journalists he would not vote for ZANU-PF. During his last days, there were media reports that he did not want to be buried at the Hero's Acre, where national heroes are buried. Most of them ZANU-PF leaders who fought in the liberation struggle. Some political analysts suggest Mugabe's death presents an opportunity for his family to reconcile with the ruling party, but that would mean not granting Mugabe's last wish. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinamashe from Harare.
Like we mentioned earlier, for some, the late Robert Mugabe is a hero, and for some, he's a villain. That gap in opinion may be widest in Zimbabwe's southwestern region of Matabeleland. Adigando has more.
In Zimbabwe, there's considerable ambivalence about the death of Robert Mugabe in a Singapore hospital this Friday. Recognized as an early leader of the liberation movement in much of colonial Africa, he was once called a lion. But between 1983 and 1987, Mugabe's ZANU-PF government carried out a brutal repression of the rival freedom movement ZAPU led by Joshua Nkomo. The period was marked by the mass killing of thousands of mainly Ndebele-speaking inhabitants of the Matabeleland region Nkomo's stronghold. Mugabe said the government was fighting anti-government rebels in some ZAPU groups. He unleashed the notorious 5th Brigade upon the region, laying waste to communities and forcing thousands of people to South Africa, Botswana, and elsewhere. Critics say the violence known as Gukurahundi still fuels secessionist groups such as the Mthwakazi Republic Party. Paul Mlauzi, a 29-year-old artist, expresses his divided feelings.
The death of Robert Gabriel Mugabe has left a lot of us people not sure how to feel. You understand? Because like growing up in communities whereby we had a lot of negative stories about our former leader, the pains, the sufferings, your surroundings makes you who you are. It's been mixed emotions. And also to note that most of our African leaders, they don't prioritize our own things. Like for instance, almost every African leader needs to go abroad for medical.
Dumisani Nkomo is with the Habakkuk Trust, a Christian peace-building group that operates in Matabeleland.
It's obviously a very sad loss to his family and his contribution to the liberation of struggle. The liberation struggle was blighted, you know, by, first of all, the Gukurahundi massacres, which he masterminded, and also the collapse of the economy from 2000 to 2013, as well as the violent election.
In addition to his brutal repression of any opposition, Mugabe oversaw the collapse of the Zimbabwe economy. A nation rich in farmland and mineral resources has been nearly bankrupt for two decades because of mismanagement. As inflation soared and people went hungry, the president was famous for throwing himself lavish birthday parties, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. Across the continent, Mugabe is hailed as a hero for advocating black emancipation, but from Nkomo and many in the region, Mugabe was only good from a distance. Nkomo has doubts that Mugabe's legacy can be polished.
It's difficult to redeem. I think the bad, you know, eclipses the good. Obviously, some would argue that he's a Pan-African advocate for Africa to be recognized as an equal partner in IMF, you know, in the United Nations and so forth. So in terms of rhetoric, he was a Pan-Africanist champion. But in terms of praxis with his own people, it was a really terrible experience with his own people.
There's a struggle to extricate Mugabe's legacy from that of several other African societies, which also produced dictators who refused to surrender power. Nkomo says it is time for African societies to do serious introspection.
Obviously, it's a reflection of who we are. If you look at the xenophobia in South Africa, the ethnocentrism that you have all over, it's a reflection of what we've become. Maybe in his case, it was magnified because he was president.
As flags fly half-mast in Mugabe's honor in countries such as Kenya, some of his compatriots hope his death will be taken as a call for all the continent's inhabitants to decide what sort of communities they should be working toward. Reporting for VOA, this is Adigondo in Bulawayo.
The death of former Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe has shown a spotlight of how the longtime leader polarized the reaction outside his country, just as it did among his own people. He has been hailed as a strong liberation leader who brought an end to white colonial control of the country, once known as Rhodesia, stood up for the rights of blacks in Africa, and brought health care and land reform. The African Union's ambassador to the United States, Arikana Chihombori Kuamo, described Mugabe as a man who stood for truth and fairness, who stuck to his principles to ensure that black Zimbabweans regained access to land.
The land belongs to the rightful owners. We credit all that to him. Zimbabwe remains one of the few countries in the world that managed to take back the land and give it back to the people, a country that managed to undo the carnage of colonization.
Mugabe has also been blamed for atrocities against opponents and the downward spiral of the country's economy into chaos.
My name is Peter Ejiofor, a journalist in the news agency of Nigeria. He should be remembered as one of the frontline leaders in Africa, because when he fought till the white government in Rhodesia then, till they were ousted and contested for the presidency of that country and won an election, he gave his people access to health, to education, and to many other things. It's unfortunate that his later years in office were marked by tyranny, corruption, and so many other factors.
Others saw Mugabe as a reflection of other African leaders who overstayed their usefulness by clinging to power.
My name is Nathaniel Okoro. I'm the convener of an NGO with the People's Forum in Nigeria. And the thing is, he was suffering from the same sickness that all African presidents suffer from. You know, the belief that without them, their country cannot work.
Now, nearly 2 years after Mugabe was forced out of office, hope for change has faded in Zimbabwe amid repetition of corruption, crackdowns on dissent, and the high inflation and other economic ills. You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. Twenty-five past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Robert Mugabe, who ruled Zimbabwe for 37 years following the end of white minority rule, has died at age 95. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Neither rain, nor cold, nor distance kept tens of thousands of Catholic faithful from coming to see Pope Francis today in a stadium outside the Mozambique capital, Maputo. The stadium was packed as the pontiff gave the country his final blessing before proceeding to Madagascar on the second leg of his three-nation Africa tour. It has been a whirlwind 3 days in Mozambique, packed with issues that straddled faith and politics. His main message was for reconciliation after leaders recently signed a peace deal that hopes to end decades of low-level conflict. But it was not all pomp and ceremony. The pontiff also met with HIV and AIDS patients at a church-run hospital outside Maputo. He also emphasized the effects of climate change and expressed solidarity for those affected by cyclones Idai and Kenneth. In this deeply religious nation, which is predominantly Christian, with Catholics having the largest share, many said this was a once-in-a-lifetime event. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Wojtek Zorniak, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
The Voice of America, VOA.